QST, 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 which is the magazine we use also. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday at 1900 hours and 8 minutes. Local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net's conducted every Tuesday, almost, maybe not as many as we used to, at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information, go to bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. Or visit the Facebook page at K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. That's K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. And the purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. And are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Randy mentioned at our club meeting this weekend that he made a link to my Tech Tuesday audio page. If you go to the bbarc.org, there's a Tech Tuesday link on the side. I just want to let everybody know I need to send him an email. At the end of it, it says techtuesday/audio.html. That slash should not be there. So if anybody wants to listen to this audio or any other after the fact, until I get Randy an email to fix that, take out that last slash and hit enter, and you should find the audio. KJ6KDL.
All right, Jim, thanks for that update. Appreciate that. Anybody else with any other announcements, please come back.
K6LCS.
Yes, Quint, go ahead.
Folks, we have a great ham fest happening on Saturday, March 15, out in Palm Springs. The Palm Springs 4th Annual Ham Extravaganza is happening. They need your support. It is a jam-packed, fun day. There is a consignment table. There's education. There's the history of ham radio. There's licensing opportunities, exam opportunities. Major vendors are out there. It's indoors this year. Free parking, reasonable coffee prices. Support your ARRL and the Palm Springs clubs. Saturday, March 15, it's going to be a great, great day. Thank you, Net Control. I also have some satellite info for you later. K6LCS.
All right, Quint, thanks for that information. Yeah, I think last year, anybody who was out there is keeping track. They weren't able to have that ham fest. They had some issues with where they used to have it. I'm glad to see they have continued on. And I take it that is that sponsored or put on by the Desert Rats there, Quint?
I apologize. It's a Desert Rat Club, and there's a Palm Springs DX Club, and I don't remember their formal name. But there's two major clubs. Their website, just go to palmspringshamfest.com, palmspringshamfest.com, for more information and the map of the new location. It's in a convention center building, completely covered for us this time, so that's kind of cool in case it is inclement or weird weather. And free parking again. So some major vendors are there. Hey, I'm going to be there too. How about you, Tom?
You know what? I'm going to be pretty busy. It's in March. March? Which weekend?
It is Saturday, March 15. Saturday, March 15.
I will try to be there, Quint. I might be able to make that one. Good deal. All right. Any other announcements for the net? Please come back to KF6Q. Well, we're going to be pulling some stuff this, tonight, a couple of short things here from the March issue, which is our the QST's annual, it says our annual antenna issue from the ARRL. Very cool. A lot of good stuff here. We'll probably flip through this a little bit, but some good articles here. A lot of things about verticals, and there is a nested loop in here. Pretty cool to get all those bands in one antenna. How about that? Anyway, so we'll dust on that a little bit and look at a couple of these things here by Larry Wolfgang, WR1B. This will be on page 49, March issue. All right, but first, our net. We'll go through the net roster here, and I have a lot of new names and some old names. If you don't hear your name out there, please check in anyway, and we want to get you added onto our list. All right, but we'll start off from the top here of what I have now is KA6CIA George. You don't hear George out there, so let's see, we're going to move on down to WA6ITC Rod. All right, not hearing Rod, and we probably won't hear a few. We were technically not going to have Tech Tuesday tonight. It was a last-minute change, so. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Present and accounted for, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Thanks for being out there. All right, next I have KJ6KDL, Jim, and I think Rosemary was still on the road. She might be almost getting home. Jim, are you out there?
Roger, KJ6KDL here. Rosemary's coming up. She may be doing the twisty turnies, but if you want, we can let her try to check in, but she's here.
I'd rather let her drive. All right, we'll just check her in. We know she's out there. So, all right, thanks, Jim. And let's see, not sure if he's out there, so I'm at our club meeting. Let's see if we have W6GZI. Frank, are you still hanging out in Big Bear?
Yes, I'm here. This is W6GZI. Irwin Lake.
Frank, good to see you again, always, and Jan, too. So good to have you out here this evening, and thanks for joining us. Next, I have KI6IQA Kelly. Not hearing Kelly out there, might still be looking up in the sky. All right, how about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? No Stephen. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley? No Ron out there. How about AD6PL Harold? All right, next I have KJ6RAY, might be listening on his mobile. All right, how about K6LTS? I know Quint's out there. We'll give you a chance to check in, Quint.
Good evening, and I got just 90 seconds max on what's happening on the ISS with amateur satellites this week. K6LCS.
Not a problem. That's fine, Clint. Appreciate that. If you can, we'll catch that right after the net here, or right after the roster. PYB Dave. Not hearing Dave? Yeah, that's Jim, if you're out there listening, this is what happens when we cancel the net and then decide to have it at the last minute. Everybody says, oh, well, they're not out there. But you never know. How about K6YNW? Let's see if Chris is out there. Nothing heard. W6POO Chip.
YNW.
I'm so sorry. I think I stepped on you, but I got you at the last end there. Thanks, Chris, for being out there. Appreciate you checking in. Let's see if we have KD6LN Bill.
No, he's not here, but he is listening. KD6LN.
You must be his ugly twin brother that he talks about. All right, let's see here. Not sure if he's out there, but we'll check as he has to drive to get to the repeater reception zone, as we call it. KJ6QYN, Shelley, all the way down in Apple Valley. Well, nothing heard there. Let's see what else we have here on the list. I know I have AE6CK Victor. Let's see if he's out there. All right, nothing heard from Victor. How about KA6ROD Rod, Woodbridge? Don't have Rod out there. About W6JET Rob in Temple City? All right, well, we're getting down to, we're running out of call signs and lots of time. Okay, how about WA6MQF? Let's see if Bob's out there. All right, I got some other names here on the list. And let's see from people who have been added in. We have K6LON, Elise. Let's see if she's out there. All right, let's see, K7SCE, Scott. W6OXA, Omar. Nothing heard there. How about W6CYS, John?
W6CYS, we're here in Big Bear City, hanging out.
Gary out there and joining us this evening. All right, got a couple here. KK6FJE. Let's see if we got Zach. Here in Zach, how about KK6HUB Bob?
Hey, I'm here, out here in Irwin Lake. Good evening to the group, KK6HUB.
Hey, good evening there, Bob. Glad to hear you out there. I got a couple people out there in Irwin Lake. How about W2PFA? Are you out there? Nothing heard. How about N7WNO, Mike? Well, we're going to stop on the names there. I've pretty much gone through most of the ones that are out there. Anybody out there would like to check in as a guest this evening?
KJ6RAY Mobile.
Hey, Ray, did call you out there. You might have been busy. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else? Alright, we got two people at the same time there. Let's try and see if we can get one of them out of the two. Go ahead.
KA9ZQL Mobile.
KA9ZQA, is that correct? Do I have that right?
Kilo Alpha 9, Charlie, Quebec, Lima. Charlie, Quebec, Lima, Mike.
Okay, Mike, you know what? I do believe, I think I have your call sign here somewhere. I just got a kind of a mess here. Well, thanks for checking in. I appreciate that. Anybody else?
Alpha Golf 6, Yankee Tango, Roy.
Alpha Golf 6, Yankee Tango, Roy. Got you out there. Is that correct?
Correct. Thanks.
Thanks for checking in, Roy. Anybody else? Well, anyway, we got quite a few out there, and I know there's a lot of others out there listening. Well, I'll tell you what here. Very cool when they have a special issue. And this is pretty neat here with the QST magazine. And if you don't get QST every month, terrible. You need to join the ARRL. $39 a year. And the magazine comes free. Or you could say the magazine's $39 a year, but you get a lot of bonus stuff. There's so many perks, so. All right, well, Jim, this here. First off, How was the pass? I didn't get a chance to get out there. I was on the phone real quick. How was that pass? And then we got to hand it over here to Clint here real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm over here in the trees over here in Sugarloaf, but I was able to get up on the flat part of the garage roof and caught the thing just clearing about 35 or 40 degrees off the ground from the west. It swung up pretty high. I think it lasted longer than 3 minutes. We caught it all the way over on the east side, probably closer to 4. It disappeared about 45 degrees into a cloud layer and lost it. But it was very bright and very smooth.
All right, good deal. I do want to hand this over to Clint. Clint, are you still out there? You got some really cool stuff. More amateur sats getting launched out from the ISS. Clint, take it over there from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Tom, first of all, should members renew their ARRL or join an ARRL through the club? Is that still something that the club does and the club gets credit for that? Is that something that should be done through your people?
Clint, the renewals, we do get a little bonus for that. It doesn't cost the member any money. Of course, you're going to get ready to renew. Send or try to get a hold of me, KF6Q, at ARRL.net. And for new members, always, they love to have a sign up new members. That's a great bonus for us. And like I say, once again, doesn't really cost the member anything to do that. So. But anyway, just have anybody who wants to do that, yes, they can get a hold of me. That's Tom, KF6Q, at ARRL.net. Back to you, Clint.
And if you notice, Tom used a ARRL.net email address. That's a perk of your membership, that email forwarding. You can show your support of the ARRL by having an ARRL.net email address free with your membership. You also get digital copies. You can access digital copies of QST Magazine before they get to the mailbox, especially here on the West Coast. Sometimes it's a week difference. All right. Hey, exciting stuff on the ISS. NASA reports that Kyoichi Wakata, amateur call sign KC5ZTA, worked in the Japanese Kibo laboratory to prepare more NanoRacks CubeSats for their deployment beginning as we speak. He opened the inner hatch to the airlock and replaced the empty deployers on the, they call it the MEP, the Multi-Purpose Experiment Platform, with loaded deployers. The platform and its deployers will be passed outside through the airlock to the exposed facility where Kibo's robotic arm can grapple the platform and position the nanosatellites for launch. NanoRacks provides customers with CubeSat deployment services through a Space Act agreement with NASA. Now, these are commercial birds, but there are 4 amateur radio satellites that we hope to be deployed Friday. We talked about it last time. Lithuania. Lithuania. The country of Lithuania is in space with Lithuania Sat 1 and LitSat 1. Another one's called ArduSat 2, UAPS Sat 1, and a 915 megahertz SkyCube are expected to be deployed Friday, this coming Friday at 7:30 UTC. And we're hoping that the Peruvian, did he say Peru? Yes, the Peruvian satellite that was sent up on February 5, we're hoping it'll be deployed on the 28th also. There are live streams of the CubeSat deployment. If you are an insomniac, man, this is the ultimate in live reality TV. And for frequencies and for that link to live video, go to amsat-uk.org. That's AMSAT, A-M-S-A-T hyphen U-K dot org. So, Tom, that's all I've got. still the most easy to work bird is still SO50. It's the Saudi bird. It's been up there for more than a decade. And for that information, you can just go to k6lcs.com and find that. But boy, if you're an overnighter and want to see some exciting TV, these little CubeSats are literally shot out of the ISS in this device that looks like it's a rectangular shotgun, and they're literally blown out from the ISS. Tom and Annette, thank you very much. K6LCS. See you March 15, Saturday, March 15, out in Palm Springs. Great food, great people, great education. Bring some money to buy some cool accessories to K6LCS.
All right, Clint. Hey, thanks for all that great information. Yeah, it's incredible what's going on up there over our heads. And, that's March 15th. Good deal. Hope to see everybody out there. All right. Jim, we were talking about this one article here, but I could not help the one preceding here. And it's a good analysis of an analyzer. Anybody out there who has been ever trying to tune up their antenna, and if you're just using an SWR meter, boy, you're really having a tough time doing it that way. MFJ has always had great antenna analyzers. I've got one myself. It's the good old MFJ 259B. Good up until, up to a certain, up the high end of the 2 meter band, actually up to 170 megahertz. But with that said, Jim, if you want to back up here to page 45, and we'll look at this real quick. And let me reset. Cool part about this one, this is the MFJ 225. It's a graphical analyzer. Yes, very cool. It's got a little LCD screen, about a 3-inch backlit screen. And pretty neat. This is a really good article on it as far as what it is. It runs about, list prices they have here, it's about $400. That may sound steep, but, when you get into test equipment, this is actually on the bottom end of this stuff. A lot of test equipment for analyzers and network analyzers goes way up into the thousands of dollars. So, if you can get in there for anywhere from a used MFJ standard, which you might find on eBay for under $200 or $250 in that range, this is $400. That's pretty cool. Let me reset. One of the cool parts is you can patch this guy into a computer. Yes, that means like laptop and the sort. And so then when you do that, you really expand some of the capabilities of this thing. And that's cool. Laptop being very portable and whatnot. This one in particular here, this the frequency range of this unit, the MFJ 225, is from 1.5 megahertz all the way up to 180 megahertz. So, and you don't have to switch ranges. I mean, it's just, there it is, okay? So, with that said, this will let you find out exactly what is up with your antenna, and of course, all the other neat things that can happen out there to your coax. Resetting. Anyway, of course, you still need some batteries in this thing. Nickel metal hydrides are great, some AAAs. Like I said, if you have this set up with a good, not sure if you can actually lock this in through a pad, an iPad or something like that. But who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe there's a Bluetooth setup for that. I don't know. Haven't really looked at that part yet. But with a laptop in this, anytime you've ever had a major issue that just confounds you to all confusion, a lot of times it's coax, a lot of times it's the connectors, and if you're really good with an analyzer, you can really narrow this down. Jim, have you spotted that there, and what do you think? That's a pretty cool piece of equipment. Back to you just for a second, Jim. KF6Q.
Oh, yeah, I'm digging around right now, looking at the MFJ website for the PDF. 1.5 megahertz to just short of 180. That is an impressive frequency range for 1 meter. DX Engineering has it for 370, and Universal Radio has it for 350. So it is a little bit below. Not that it makes it any less painful than 400. If anybody gets one, let me know. I would like to try it out. I do see a note here on the first page that on the last column that the person writing this article claims that it suffers at very low impedances as well as high impedances at higher frequencies. So something to note on that. But other than that, for what it does, anybody who likes to look at graphs and get a visual of what they're doing, this is a really cool product.
You know, and one thing to add to that, Jim, is we have with this, if you don't know, you're about to learn this, everybody out there listening, an antenna itself is essentially a tuned circuit. It shows inductance and capacitance, and of course, when it is at a perfect resonance for what you're doing, they go away as pure resistance. So, but that never happens, okay? That's on paper only. So what this will show you, if your antenna is a little bit short, it's going to need to have an adjustment to it. If it's a little bit long, you can also have that. You can actually tune the antenna with an inductor or a capacitor. This is actually the principle behind loading. If you've ever seen a mobile antenna or even a vertical with a coil at the bottom or a coil in the middle, that coil is actually what they call a loading coil. That is actually adding inductance to that because the antenna is short. It's too short. So if it's too short, we have to add inductance to help it out. So anyway, that helps balance that out. That's a very, very long topic in itself, which we have touched on. We will get back to in the future. Anybody with any questions about antenna analyzers and how they're used in general, please come back to KF6Q. Tech Tuesday in the group. No questions out there. Anybody who thinks of anything later on, perfectly fine. Yeah, with an analyzer like this, like I said, we've built Yagis and stuff like that, and it's great. You can tune up and check the tune on, you know, there are different matches that go in there. Pretty awesome. The things that you can do to check out any type of mobile or base antenna is incredibly awesome. The basic XWR is kind of like that idiot light on the dashboard that says red, says, oh, look, I might not have oil, okay, which is too late. No, with this, this actually is full-blown instrumentation of what is going on with that antenna. Anyway, just want to touch base on that. Read this article. Very cool. A lot of good stuff there. There are a little few limitations to it, but like I say, for $400, which I know is a few of those big bucks, you'll probably be pretty happy with it, though. Anyway, Jim, let's move on to Great Balls of Fire here. And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Anyway, there's I want to point this out before we get started here. Many, many columns that appear monthly with the QST, and a lot of great hams. These are all written by hams that you know, have experienced stuff, or some of it is Q&A, you know, if you have a question or a problem, and they'll publish this stuff. So that's all pretty neat. And this one specific, which we don't have to really get in the details of the article itself, but antenna issues. And this guy has Larry Wolfgang here, answering like over about three or four pages here of basically a lot of stuff that you can have, what'll happen, a couple formulas here for wire sag, if you're trying to get a long wire up there. Very good stuff. This information is just priceless, and it comes out every month, something new, but wait, there's more. I guess the big thing is, if you're out there and you don't belong to ARRL and getting your QST or vice versa, not a problem. When you join the ARRL and you'll start receiving QST magazines, online they have all the issues all the way back to, I believe it's 1915, the first ones that came out. Of course, it's a lot of old technology back there. But if you want to look back to something a year or two ago, that does not mean that's old school stuff. A lot of this stuff and antenna stuff, tuning, does not change through the ages. You can actually find some very intelligent and informative articles that are written way back 20, 30, 40 years ago or more. That said, and being a member and getting online there, you can actually pick and choose and go all the way back there. They do allow you to print a page or two if you want to save it, and that's all cool too. So if you're like, hey, you know what, I like this, I like these formulas, but yes, you can. Yeah, you go on there, print those pages out, hard copy it.
And all the reviews, the product reviews too, free with membership.
Yes, product reviews are fantastic, and that's actually what they were doing here with this antenna analyzer. That is fantastic. They've got a couple of very cool things here, and you know, this is their, they're one of their anniversary years here, so very good time to join. You get some very cool stuff. In the back, of course, they have a huge, huge library of books that the ARRL publishes. And also, you can get through them too. Great Radio Society of Great Britain. There, I'd get it out. RSGB, our sister group over there across the pond. Anyway, any other comments out there? Please come back. All right, well, fantastic. Anyway. Well, Jim, we're actually running into, it's like 7:40, so anything you'd like to add to that, as I'm also coming through the very back here to ham ads, you can post an ad in here for sale or wanted, antique stuff, general items and whatnot, so very, very, very cool. So, Jim, anything else to add?
Yeah, in the Great Balls of Fire article, I think he kind of raced through it. I must have let my brain switch off for a second. This guy was talking about setting up a vertical antenna and watching actual lightning-type activity on his antenna, and it was very active, and he thinks it was the summer of 1977, and he watched this over several days as it slowly subsided. And he had a 10-tech Century 21 transceiver he was afraid to hook up because he didn't know what this mini-ball lightning would do. So I did some looking around just out of curiosity, and I found this interesting website called climate4u.com, climate4u.com/sun.htm, and it shows the 20th century sunspot cycles through today. It turns out that in 1978, we were at a peak of sunspot activity, and I was curious if that might have been the reason for his little great balls of fire there.
Well, you know, as we all know, there are a lot of the, and it depends where you are, of course, located above the equator. Going to have a bigger chance, I think, if you're further north. And, yeah, you know, you can get a lot of particles coming through there. If the antenna is the proper length and starts resonating at something other than maybe what you wanted it to, you know, you're going to get corona discharge. You're going to get something all or none of the above. So, yeah, definitely an interesting thing, probably a rarity in itself, but, you know, it's basically good to looking into. So, ball lightning on the antenna. Good point there. Anything else to add, Jim?
This is such a good book. I don't know if I want to start commenting on any of the other sections. We might be here all night. Well, we can save some of this for next week, but yes, definitely the antenna issues section of the antenna issue book has some interesting articles with people talking about various things that they've run across, and even talking about other articles, and we can cover some of those. And just a side point, if anybody flips over to page 50, something you don't see much of anymore, they have a really nice math equation for calculating antenna sag over distance. Pretty cool.
So, and that's related to the tension. And, of course, we all know if you pull it tighter, it's not going to sag as much. But how tight do you need to pull it so the sag almost goes away? You get close to that magic number, it says where it goes boink and it breaks. But anyway, same formula actually they use in suspension bridges, you know, for a lot of the calc there. So very interesting. Anyway, back to you real quick, Jim.
Okay. Yeah, I better stop looking in here. I'll end up going all night long. I had some really good articles I was reading and some good topics to come up for next week. Back to you, and I guess we can cap it for the night if nobody has any questions.
Good deal, Jim. I appreciate all the help, and any Tuesday that you can, always, and anybody else out there. Anybody with any questions or comments before we close Tech Tuesday? All right, hearing none. Of course, you can always reach me through KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec, @ARRL.net, and that'll get to me fairly quickly. And any questions or comments or whatever, and information on the ARRL, or renewing or joining. So, all right, well, we're going to call it quits for this evening, and we'll bid everybody a farewell. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Closing the net this evening at 1900 hours and 45 minutes and returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again, everybody, for listening in, and we'll explore this March issue more next week. If, let's see, next week? Yes, yes, I will be here next week. All right, tell you all, take care. We'll see you then.